Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo. Well, Paul's not here today. You got me, Maynard Meyer, running the board here, and Dick Newman over doing all the heavy lifting today. So how you doing, Dick?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
It's good. You're looking...
We hope
looking younger every day.
Paul heals up, so
yes, he's working on it.
Good for him. Well, we're going to start things off as we always do at the 8:30 with the two golf coaches, and Barry Bessman's in the studio talking about that day one of the section tournament, and you had to be in the top four teams, which you are, in order to play this up and coming Wednesday. So, way to go, Barry.
Thanks. Yes, we had our opening round of the Section 5A tournament last Wednesday in what could be described as just about ideal conditions.
Yeah.
The temperature warmed up a little bit into the mid-60s, and there was literally no wind, and you couldn't ask for a better day. And we did finish in the top four as a team to advance to day two, which will be next Wednesday. We are in third place. The leading team is Central Minnesota Christian. Shot a 320. They have a three-shot lead over Dawson Boyd at 323. We are third at 340. And then Benson is the fourth team to advance at a 348. So the four of us will compete. You know, scores do carry over. So we're in a bit of a hole, 20 behind first, 17 behind second. Through about 13 or so holes, we were in really good shape. We were inside of 10 shots, and then we had a little bit of a struggle coming in with the last three or four holes. We had started on the back, so we were playing the front to finish, and there's some holes that if you hit in the right place, it's okay, but if you don't, they can get you. And we had a couple spots where we got in the wrong place and made some doubles and triples when we needed some pars and bogeys and put us in a little hole, but we'll go out there and compete and see what we can come up with on day two. The thing about the section tournament is day two can get a little wild with the course setup. Will probably be a little tougher. The greens will be a little faster. Pins will be a little more tough positions. You might have some of the holes playing a little longer. And there's, of course, the pressure of trying to get to the state tournament hanging over you, too. So.
Yeah, it might be a little warmer, too.
And a little warmer. They're talking lower mid-80s, which, for personally, I love that.
Yeah,
I like to be warm, but we'll see how some of others might not so much. So individually for us, Griffin Kranz led us with a 79, which puts him in a tie for fourth place, which it puts him in a good position. Leading scorer for the tournament, there were 273s, so he's only four back of the lead. We'll talk about that in a little more in a second. He shot 79. Caden Stender shot 85. Noah Arndt shot 87. Grant Bierke shot 89. Aaron Bond shot 89. And Harris Borstad shot 97 to round out our field. As I mentioned, Griffin is four back. Co-leaders at 73 are Evan Mork, Dawson Boyd, and Connor Larson from Benson. Larson being an eighth grader who did play in the state tournament last year, is a seventh grader. He's a nice player came through with one over. Then third place is Eli Gertis from Central Minnesota Christian with 77. And Griffin's tied for fourth with Joseph Graves from Central Minnesota Christian at 79. And there was an 80. Trevor Anders from KMS shot 80. Carson Stratmon from Dawson Boyd was 81. Graham Lundeen, Central Minnesota Christian, was 81. Top 10, I think, was 83. So Caden Stender is in 12th place. So some of our guys that want to maybe have a shot at trying to get into the individual side of things, top five players not on the team have got a little work cut out for them. I got to come down a little lower. Griffin's in a pretty good position right now. But like I said, day two, anything goes. So I've seen a lot of wild stuff over the years on day two of the section tournament, both good and otherwise. So,
right.
So it's between, it makes for a fun day.
How many teams in the section?
There's about 13 teams.
Okay.
13 teams. Now KMS, has been in the section, but this is the first year they've fielded a varsity team. They've had some JV teams and played some JV stuff. This is the first year they've actually put a varsity team in the section, so got us to 13 teams.
So there's nine teams that didn't qualify.
Nine teams that didn't qualify. We did take the individuals, not on the teams. I think the formula is you subtract how many players are from the total field, which was around 72. You subtract the number of players that qualified under the team format, which I think this year was 23, I believe, because Benson only played five kids. The other teams played six. So it was 72 minus 49, and then you go 25% of that. So about a dozen kids plus ties advanced to the day two as well that aren't on the four teams.
Okay.
So we'll have, I suppose 35, 36, 37 players on Wednesday playing. So
good. Okay. Well, best of luck. Call in some results. To the station, and then we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right, sounds good.
Barry Bessonen on boys golf. We'll get on the phone and be talking girls golf with Kip Stender after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson with some delicious deals. Whole chickens, just $2 a pound. How about some breakfast links, 25% off? Perfect for the grill, freezer, or an easy family meal. Stop in and grab yours while supplies last. The Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 1, and they're closed Sunday and Monday.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotta Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, The Appleton Press, and The Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our home run for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Back here at the station, talking girls golf with Kip Stender. And just like the boys, the top four teams get to play again this up and coming Wednesday, day two of the section. And you qualified as well. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. The boys were in third place. Fourth place would be Benson. They're 123 over. We're 88 over. We're three behind. Community Christian is 85 over, and Dawson had a nice round, 55 over. So, really nice weather, and girls, our team score was kind of in the middle average of what we've been doing, and consistency's kind of been an issue all year for us, but individual-wise, Molly Halverson is currently leading the tournament. She's 8 over, followed by Kyler Yamlin, 9 over. Alyssa Sadinsky's 10 over. And in fourth place is Hope Reed. In eighth place would be Peyton Sachs. She's 20 over. Kate Alstead's in 10th place, 27 over. America Villa had her personal best. She's 33 over. 33 over, sorry about that. 105. That was her best of her career so far on 18. Harper Bala was 41 over, and Makaya Thompson 49 over. So we do go on to Wednesday. Like Barry said, the weather was pretty nice, but they will, you know, kind of make the course a little more challenging, although it doesn't need a lot. It's a pretty, you know, fast greens for the most part. That front nine, there's a bunch of holes there, like you said. If you don't keep it in the middle of the fairway or to the sides of some fairways to get that angle to get up to the green, it can put you in trouble. Or if you get in the trees, it's a lot narrower, dog legs, and pretty tough. But girls will be ready to go, and if anything goes on Wednesday, it's the last day, and a lot of individuals trying to qualify for the state tournament, a team's trying to qualify, so a little more pressure for some of those people, and you never know what happens.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, I guess best of luck. Calling some scores throughout the tournament if you can after nine holes, and then at the end, but then we'll talk all about it next Saturday morning as well.
Yeah, no, it'll be exciting as always. Yeah. We start on the back nine for the girls. The boys start on the front nine, so okay. So we can get off to a good start, and then, you know, try to, you know, do their best through that front nine and get through those counting holes without any, you know, difficulties. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report, and best of luck, and we'll hear about it next Saturday morning, Kip.
All right, thanks, Dick.
Yep. That's Kip Stender on girls' golf. We'll be talking with Austin Ireland about boys' tennis after this.
Saving the planet one tree at a time. Don't miss the biochar demonstration field day Saturday, May 23rd from 11 to 3 at the Donald Struxness Farm, just 1 1/4 mile east of Milan on Highway 40. Learn how biochar can improve soil health and help the environment with live demonstrations and guest speakers throughout the day. If you have access to dead or dying trees, come along for the ride and see what biochar is all about. Join us Saturday, May 23rd for the Biochar Demonstration Field Day at the Donald Struxness Farm near Milan.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
At Egg Country Farm Credit Services in Madison, they send out best wishes for success to the graduating class. Every yesterday is a memory of dreams. Every tomorrow, a vision of hopes. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll be among the stars. Best of luck from Egg Country Farm Credit Services in Madison. Some of the graduates this year at Lac Parle Valley High School include Aiden Rutland, Brad Schomer, Anthony Schultz, Caden Smith, Nolan Smith, Caden Stender, and Preston Strand. All the best to you and your fellow graduates from Egg Country Farm Credit Services.
Back here at the station, talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland, and like everybody else, you were in the section play this past week. First off, early in the week, the team concept, and then on Thursday, the individual concept. So let's talk about the results. First off, with the team, Austin.
All right, Dick. We were the number 5 seed, so we went to Montevideo on Monday. And we moved it up early due to time constraints because, you know, the rain was on the forecast. We ended up losing 6-0. I'll start with the third doubles. Landon Hersham and Max Boffin lost to Sol Jetma and Caleb Winter, 6-3, 6-1. Second doubles, that was probably the matchup of the day. Gannon Thiessing and Thatcher Johnson, they ended up losing 7-5, and then in a tiebreaker. For the second set, that would be 8-6 they lost. So that was a pretty close one there. It was nice to get that one. But And then our one doubles is Brody Nelson and Tom Felton, a couple of seniors, ended up losing 6-1, 6-3. Our fourth singles, Aaron Will, he ended up losing to Nolan Christopher, 6-1. And then in the second set, Aaron, he was up 5-1, and he really had Nolan frustrated. But then he came back and Aaron ended up losing that in two sets. Pepe Martin, he took on Ben Baldwin, and Pepe, he beat him in conference. And this kid was bound, this Baldwin kid, yeah, he was bound and determined to beat Pepe in their rematch, and he did. He beat him 6-3, 6-3. Aiden Menning at number two singles, he ended up losing 6-2, 6-0. And then Hudson Giese at number one singles, because Montevideo only has the six courts, so that was the one singles comes on after. So he didn't end up finishing. He ended up losing the first set 6-2, but then he won the second set, but that was his winning point. He slipped on the court, and the match had been decided, so we just decided, he's saving himself for an individual tournament on Thursday. So, yeah, we ended up losing to Montevideo. They advanced. They took on the number one seed in the semis, and they ended up losing to Redwood. And Redwood is again our Section 3A champion.
Okay.
So they'll be representing our section in the state tournament. But speaking of Redwood, that's where they hosted on Thursday. Our beautiful day for that. It's the section tournament. Each team gets, two singles entries and two doubles teams. We had Hudson Giese and Aiden Menning were our two singles guys, and our two doubles teams was our one doubles with Brody Nelson and Thomas Felton, and then our two doubles with Gannon Thiessing and Thatcher Johnson. Hudson Giese, he was actually a number three seed in the tournament. He won his first match 6-0, 6-1 against Elijah Hendricks from Laverne. And then in the second round, this is a single elimination tournament, he took on Charlie Fox from Redwood. And Charlie was a six seed, but he only had one loss all year. He ended up beating Hudson in straight sets. So it's a tough draw, but it's hard to see those things because, that Charlie Fox, he was playing at third singles, fourth singles sometimes. He played a little bit of doubles. So, only having one loss on the year, yeah, he's a good, great player, but, hard to prove that. So that's But a good tournament there for Hudson getting a win and being honored. It's been a long time since we had a number three seed, someone seeded that well. Our other singles guy, Aiden Menning, he was the number 10 seed. He took on Liam Hadfield from YME, and he ended up beating Liam 6-3, 6-4. Put a great match. They were very similar type players, and Aiden just he persevered. He's a hard fought matchup, and just mental toughness prevailed there. But then in the second round, he ran into Joel Gomez. He's a senior, multiple-time state entrant. Now that New London's in our section, he was the number two seed. He won 6-0, 6-0. So that ended Aiden's season. Our doubles team, number 13-seeded Gannon Thiessing and Thatcher Johnson, they took on a group from New London Spice, the number four seed, ended up losing to them in the first round, 6-2, 6-0. They played well, though. They played really good tennis, but this is a very stacked, section time is a very stacked lineup. And then our number one doubles all year with Brody Nelson and Tom Felton, and they took on the number seven seed, also from New London. They lost the first set 6-4, won the second set 6-3, and then it was 6-6 and a tiebreaker for the third set, and they won it 7-5. And that was, we had Redwood coaches were cheering our guys. Monty coaches are cheering for our guys. That's just fun to see. We call ourselves the bad guys, but other schools were rooting for Thomas and Brody on that first round matchup. So that just shows we got good kids out there in the program.
Good.
But that was a long, heavy fought match, three setter and into a tiebreaker. They ended up in the second round losing to a team from Redwood, the number two seed, 6-0, 6-3. That was the last matchup of the whole tournament on Thursday. So that was a long, hard-fought battle, but that was a good day overall. Anytime you can get three guys past the first round, it's great. Unfortunately, didn't get anybody to the middle round, which would be played on Tuesday, but that was a good season for us overall, and nice tournament and good weather. We couldn't really complain about that on Thursday.
Okay. Then next week, you'll probably wrap up your season, and how many seniors are you going to lose?
Six seniors and then a foreign exchange student.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well,
Tennis is a sport where they can get out and practice all summer and fall and join the team again with a bunch of new tennis players. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, prime example, like Aiden Manning, this is his second year. You know, he played two singles all year, and, you know, he, you know, got past the first round. I mean, that just shows you, you know, if you just put some time in one summer,
sure,
it can make a heck of a lot of difference.
Yep. And now with the new courts, probably one of the best setups in the western part of the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of schools are all jealous of us, so that's good.
Good. Well, thanks for the report, and we'll talk again next Saturday morning.
Yep, and thanks to all the graduates. Congratulations to all the graduates in the surrounding areas.
All righty. That's Austin Ireland on boys tennis. We'll send it back to the station, regular program, and after the 9 o'clock hour, we'll come back with the other coaches and finish up the coaches show somewhere around 10 o'clock.
It's graduation time, and time to take a moment to say congratulations, graduates, from Dave's Plumbing and Heating in Madison, Minnesota. As you head off to college or that new job, here is hoping only the best for you at every turn. Some of the graduates at Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Cadence Call, Colton Clayton, Callie Kahn, Shauna Dukes, and Reese Foster Anderson. At Dave's Plumbing and Heating in Madison, they wish only the best to you and your fellow graduates. Congratulations, graduates. This heartfelt wish goes out your way from your friends at the Farmers Mutual Telephone Company. They're proud of your accomplishments during your high school years and your contributions to our communities. Best of luck in whatever you decide to do in the future. And good luck, graduates, from Farmers Mutual Telephone Company with an office in Bellingham, Minnesota. Thanks for listening to Q92, 92.1 FM. QP Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
It's business. I'm Daria Albinger, Fox News. President Trump canceled his weekend plans, which included his son's wedding, to meet with top advisors about Iran. Here's Fox's Madeline Rivera in Washington.
The president said this: "While I very much wanted to be with my son, Don Jr., and the newest member of the Trump family, his soon-to-be wife, Bettina, circumstances pertaining to government and my love for the United States of America do not allow me to do so. I feel it is important for me to remain in Washington, D.C. at the White House during this important period of time." Axios reports the president met with his national security team on Friday to talk about the war in Iran as he seriously considers new strikes. This comes after weeks of stalemate on a deal despite Pakistani mediators scrambling last minute to bridge any gaps. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Iran wants to create a tolling system for the Strait of Hormuz, a scenario that he says is unacceptable.
Another major sticking point, Iran's enriched uranium, which Mr. Trump claims Iran will not be able to keep. Meet the new head of the Fed, Kevin Warsh, was sworn in yesterday as the 17th chair of the central bank.
And it was a who's who in that ceremony. Warsh sworn in by Justice Clarence Thomas, Scott Bessent, and Kevin Hassett were both in the room. Hassett, of course, was a front runner for the job at one point. Another finalist for the spot, Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller, made comments shortly before that ceremony saying it would be, quote, crazy for the Fed to contemplate cuts in the near future. Central bankers say some policy firming might be appropriate if inflation persistently stays above that 2% target rate. Warsh begins his first term as the conflict in Iran puts upward pressure on prices. In the past, Warsh has argued for reshaping the Fed and shrinking its footprint.
Connor Hansen of Fox Business. Warsh is replacing Jerome Powell, whose term has ended. America's listening to Fox News.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app. The voices America trusts. Download it.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. A blend of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 68. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows dip down to about 46. Mainly clear tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 82. Warmer Monday and Tuesday with highs in the low 90s. Take a look at the extended forecast, 86 Wednesday, 83 Thursday, and 81 on Friday. Another look at the short range, highs reach 68 today. We should dip to 46 tonight, a high of 82 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
The Lacaparro Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotta Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Back here at the studio, of course, in the spring with all the different sports, we already had both golf coaches and the boys tennis coach. So now John Sherba is in the studio and we'll be talking track. But I do want to do a shout out. On Thursday this past weekend, a number of scholarships were given out at the school, and Larry Mahoney from Soybean Growers Scholarship gave a scholarship out, and he said he listens to Q92 all the time, and so I want to do a shout-out to him because I told him I'm the guy that does the culture show, and he says, no, I can match the face with the voice. So thanks for listening, Larry. So, John? Thursday was the subsection.
Yep,
and
subsection.
Did a good job in both boys and girls.
Yeah, subsection was in Monty. Now it's kind of that changeover. Now it's where you've got it. Times are great, but it's also now you got to qualify. Weather, God, we just can't find it. We get to, you know, one marquee day, and then everything else is just, you know, cool, windy, little spitty in the air over there. It was not the greatest of day performances, but, you know, the kids have really fought through a lot of this stuff and handled it well, and I thought we did a lot of good things and continue to grow, and it's fun watching these kids excel. So, you know, going in, you know, our goal was to get all relay teams in. I know we thought some of the relay teams are going to have to run well or have to get a couple breaks to get in. And also just individually we're going to try to qualify as many as we can. Really had some good performances over there, and it was fun watching the kids go at it. In the boys' 100-meter dash, Elvis Belafile was sixth at 12.72. He did not qualify on the at-large bid in the 100, but still a good time for him. You know, he's only a first-year kid off the track. Hopefully he'll be faster again. You know, for next year as we build. Josh Weber was 11th at 12.96, and then Griffin Kuchenmeister was 16th at 13.99. 200-meter dash, Isaac Blum was 6th overall at 24.84. He does qualify for the section meet at-large kid, so he will get a chance to run the 200-meter dash down at the section meet, which, again, is impressive when you're a senior, you come out your first year off the track to do what he's done. It's really been a good run for him, and hopefully we can get one more. You know, he's got three more races we can take care of for one more big meet and see what happens there. Then Jake Johnson was 13th at 26.74, and Scott Asphalt was 14th at 27.01. Four-hand-meter dash, Tanner Callis got second, led probably 90% of the race, and just unfortunately the kid from Morris just had a little extra oomph to get home to the finish and just couldn't quite hold him on. But, you know, Tanner went out and set the pace, went at it. He ended up getting second at the time, 54.70. Also, Cale Tufto finished fourth at 56.17. He qualified, and Caden Brent was fifth. He also qualified, and we didn't have Caden most of the season just because he had an ankle injury. He's finally got back into the fold of running, so that was a good time for him as a young ninth grader. That was a personal best for him, so he qualifies for the section meet. 800-meter run, Matthew Bothan was our top runner there. He finished ninth at 226.61. Armando Higuera was 11th at 236.47, and that's a personal best for him in the open. You know, he ran another personal best in a relay team at the conference meet, but open, it was good to see him do that. Eddie Felton was 13th at 241.50. Mile, Colin Rosendahl finished 11th, 537.61. Just really didn't have his sharpness like he had at the conference. He got kind of caught into no man's land where it was a gap with the cool breeze you're getting out of that. The north had just kind of affected him a little bit and kind of lost the mental part of it, but still competed very well on that. Then in the 110 hurdles, Riley Borman looked good through three hurdles, and then all the wheels fell off the cart, and he was scrambling trying to get through. And in hurdle races, you get off, you're in trouble. And unfortunately, he got off on that spot and just couldn't quite get back into the form and get over the top. He finished fifth in there at 20.57, did not qualify for the section meet. 300 hurdles, looked better in the 300 hurdles. Still, again, he looked like again, the hurdles of a race mentally could eat you alive. If you allow that to start make you second guess, you're going to struggle a lot. And he had a little bit of that doubt in his eyes, but he still finished fifth, 48.99. 4x1, 4x1 boys, again, have been running really, really well and consistently. You know, if we can just kind of get one more little bump in there, we're really going to be interested in where we're at. We finished second in there. That was Josh Weber, Isaac Blum, Elvis Belafile, and Mason Bothan with a time of 47 flat. So they qualified for the section meet. 4x2, finished third, 138.89. That was Isaac Blum, Cale Tufto, Elvis Belafile, and Mason Bothan. 4x4, finished third with a time of 351.18. That was Cale Tufto, Beckett Anderson, Tanner Callis, and Kane Brent. You know, by the time we get that, we had some tired kids, and a lot of these guys were jumping a lot. And so I know Beckett was really, really, really shot, but he was just going to gut it out and get through, and that's all you can ask of it. So, again, just keep continuing to build off. It was really good to see. 4x8 boys finished fifth. That was Cantara Soraro, Matthew Bothan, Colin Rowe. No, it wasn't Collins. It was Armando Higuera was in there, and Tanner Callis was in there. And they finished the time in 9:57.33. They do qualify for the section meet. So that was the one that we needed to run well. And like I said, just kind of got in there. So finished fifth on that. Shot put, top thrower was there, Tucker Lines. He finished 10th, 34 feet, 6 and 3 quarters inches. So that's a personal best for him. Followed by Eli Arata. He finished 16th at 30 feet 1 and 3 quarters. Discus. In discus, we had our normal three in there, and our top discus thrower in there was Gabe Lowry. He was 13th at 99 feet 6 inches. Tucker Lines was 17th at 79 and 7 inches. And that's a personal best for him. And then Eli Arata was 18th at 73 feet 6 inches. High jump, Jackson Haston was our top jumper there. He finished 4th, 5 feet 6. He does qualify for the section meet there. Cale Tufto was 7th at 5 foot 2. So was Elvis Belafile. He was also 7th at 5 foot 2. Pole vault, Colin Rosendahl was 6th. Height at 9 feet 4. That's a personal best for him. So, again, that's, you know, kind of a good mark for him. He does qualify on the at-large, which is really good for a ninth grader who's just, this is his really first year of vaulting. And Ben has done a really good job advancing him through. The toughest thing is he's going to have when he goes to section is he is going to be, his opening height is going to be his personal best attempt. So, because when they set the height down there, they're going to set a height, and that height is going to be the 12th place mark, and that's probably going to be about 10 foot. So he's going to have to jump really, really well to be able to get, you know, and that's the toughest thing. It's just, but again, at least he gets three more shots at it, see if we can get one over there. Now you're into that next level, which is good to see. Then other vaulters did not clear opening height on that. Our long jump, Beckett Anderson was top jumper there for us. He was fifth, 19 feet. He does qualify for the section meet, and that's good for him. Again, he's really is starting to grow into himself, and he can be a force here, you know, this next week, plus also the next 2 years could be really be interesting where we can get him in that jumping field. Jackson Hasted was eighth, 18 feet 5 inches, and Caden Brent was 14th at 16 feet 6 inches. Triple jump, Beckett Anderson was third with a personal best 41.13. Mm-hmm. So that's a big jump. That's a foot farther than he's jumped. Wow. And so, and the triple right this year, I think he's sitting about third or fourth coming in the section meet off the subsection performance. So he's right in the thick of things. And so if he can pop another one out there and really put together, he's going to be kind of in that question mark of do you get a chance to go to the state meet or not. So just you love those opportunities, and if he doesn't, at least you got that chance, and that's the fun part about it. Jackson Haston was 6, 39 feet 5 inches. He does qualify for the section meet, and then Caden Brent was 7th, and he qualifies with a 39 foot 3 and a half inch. So we qualified all three of our triple jumpers into there. So that was some good marks into there. On the girls, 100-meter dash, top runner was Emerson Erdman. She was 4th overall. She does qualify with a 14.35. Greta Fernals was 14th at 15.38, and Greta Hacker was 18th at 15.66. 200-meter dash, Micaiah Poost really, again, looks good. She had a tough day because this was tough for the seniors, and some of the seniors Well, a lot of the seniors the night before, Wednesday night, were up all night and not, you know, it's just that baccalaureate and they camp out in the parking lot. I don't think she got a lot of sleep, but she was able to get through the 200 with no problem at all there. And that's a personal best for her at 27.64 to finish second. Kara Mamali was fifth at 29.84. And then we had Greta Hacker in 15th at 32.22. 400-meter dash, Talia Hursom finished third at 106.37. That is a personal best for her in the open quarter. She qualifies for the section meet in there. Julissa Ramos was 12th at 1 minute and 11 seconds and 39 tenths. And then Marley Ludvigsen was 16th at 114.73. 800-meter run. Bryn has been sick. She was sick at the conference meet, and she was still fighting a lot of the afterthought. I know she wasn't in school early in the week, and so she came back, and she ran three really, really good legs of her races. And she really, you know, you're talking about negative splitting. Well, her first quarter was slower than her second quarter, so she kind of sat back and let everybody else take it out, and then took the lead with a lap to go, and then she kind of broke open and just ran away with it. She ended up running it's a season best for her, 224.57, so that puts her in that echelon of trying to get back that 220, which I think she's very capable of doing. So she qualifies for the section meet. And then Harper Grunholz was 14th at 252.13. I think that's probably on a personal best for her in the open. Then Cambry Larson was 15th, and she finished at 258.08. Mile, Cambry was our lone runner in there. Cambry, again, she's bouncing back and forth, so we've got to kind of get, you know, where's her mile? Then she's run some quarters. Then she's run the 800. So she's been all over the place, and the workouts haven't been as quality as I would like to put her through. And that's partially on my blame and not being able to balance her a little bit. But she finished 12th at 641.29. I think she was only about 4 seconds off her personal best. So she's right there in that area. 100-meter hurdles, Alexis Olsen. She ends up finishing fourth in the 100 hurdles, 19.11, and she qualifies for the section meet. Ella Stock was 11th at 21.08, and then Cameron Olson was 14th at 21.61. 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was 7th at 55.70, and that's, again, I just had the one hurdler. 4x1, 4x1 has really, you know, we've had, this crew has been just staying together pretty much all season just to kind of get them to kind of feel off each other where they're at. They ended up finishing 5th, 55.69, which is a personal best for the season for us, and we do qualify. So that's the fun part, is these kids get one more opportunity and see if we can even lower our personal best for the year. So that was a good time just to see them. I know the girls were surprised when I told them on Friday at their end. They didn't think they were going to get in with that, but there, you know, we'll get another shot with those four. And again, that was Macy Coyer, Kara Mamali, Emerson Erdman, and Julissa Ramos. 4x2 finished 5th. They qualified at large, also 158.10. That was the same four that ran the 4x1, so there's some consistency in there. And Macy, Emerson, Kara, and Julissa. 4x4, probably, I maybe shocked me a little bit, but ran really, really well. We PR'd our big time of event, and we hadn't beat McCray all year, and we ended up winning it with a time of 4:14.74. Really, really put ourselves into that next era of where do we want to go. If we can clean up some things, I think, you know, now can we tweak in that idea to break that 4:10 barrier, which you're only 4 seconds off. But we had really, really four good legs in there. I think we can have better legs next time if all four are on the same page. But that was Micaiah Poos, Sadie Rosenbell, Chloe Glegge, and Bryn Glegge. So, again, they'll be interesting where they fit into this next level when they go. 4x8, we also loaded our 4x8 girls. So we kind of loaded our two relays in there. And they went season best there of 10:27.43. And that's, I think, about a 15-second improvement. So it shows we could. And I know Micaiah was the one this one hampered her the most just because of the longer being tired. But she still got us in there. So, again, those four were Bryn, Chloe, Talia Hursom, and then Micaiah Poost. Shot put, Shayla Myers just had a really, really quiet, but a really, really, really good year in the shot and disc because she has been steady. It just has made some really, really nice steps in there. And she finished third overall, 30 feet, 6 1/4 inches. I believe that's a personal best for her in the shot put. And then also she came back in the disc, finished third in the disc. So, man, she gets to go to the section meet. And now, and you know, we were talking about she didn't let her last year. She was, again, she had some back injuries and some issues there. So she has come a long ways this last year, and it's really been fun watching her and the smile on her face when she's been doing this. And she went 104.02 to finish third in the discus. High jump, Emerson Erdman was third overall. She went 4'7". I believe that's a personal best for her. She qualifies for the section meet. And then Sadie Rosendahl was at seventh at 4'5". She does qualify in the high jump. Pole vault, Sadie finished fourth in the pole vault, 7'2". And that's 2 inches better than she's ever cleared. She was 7 foot was her personal best. Now she's gone to 7'2". So she qualifies for the section meet there. Harper Grunholz, she cleared 5'8". And she ended up finishing 10th in there. Long jump, Morgan Anderson finished 7th, 14'3 1/4". And Reese Kuzman was 15th at 13'4". And then Greta Fernals was in 19th at 11'9.5". Triple jump, Morgan Anderson was 2nd, 33'3". That's really, really close to her personal best, but she was right into it. So she gets to qualify for the section meet. Alexis Olsen was 7th at 30'9". And then Reese Kuzman was 12th at 28'11". Scoring-wise, you know, we didn't go for points, really. We were about to points. We were just trying to qualify. Again, both teams finished in that fourth area. It's just, again, we just don't have events, and we left events open. We had some events that we would score at the section, at the conference meet. But, again, this was a stage where, you know, we took Chloe out of the mile and 2 mile and put her into the 4x8 and 4x4. So we're doing some changeovers a little bit. So now we go to sections, which we qualified a lot of kids, which was, yeah, that was our goal, was to qualify a good chunk of kids. And so we've qualified a really good bunch of kids, and see where we go. And that will be Thursday the week in Pipestone. That will be a 2 o'clock start for field events. Running doesn't start till 3:30 because they want to try to get as many of the field events out of the way so they don't have the conflicts of kids going from running back and forth. And I think that's a great move for the section to get to that. It's a long day, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be that chance to qualify. You know, we've got kids that I think are in great spots, or, you know, we've got, you know, the 4x4 girls have a shot. Bryn, who went to state last year in the 8, is in a great spot to go back to state in the 8. Then, you know, again, we've got Beckett in the triple jump. Our girls 4x8 is not that far out of it either. So you don't know. That's the fun part. Yeah, you have ideas what's on paper, but still going to come down to who's ready that day to go on and compete. And who knows? We may just shock ourselves and go even bigger yet. We may just get our normal in. We'll just see what happens. But
yeah,
the fun part is going down to compete, and top two will qualify for the state meet. And so, and that'll be relay teams and individuals.
Okay, and looks like the weather's going to be pretty good.
It's going to warm up. I saw some 90s. I really hope we don't see 90s on Thursday. Because, you know, when you're used to running in 50-degree temperature, cold and wind and rain, now you're going to go back into baking like a baked potato in the oven. So I hope we don't get that mess. So, but, again, it is what it is. If we just got to, again, hopefully, you know, we talked about hydration. That's now we're really going to have to be in that hydration and mode, and that's all you can do.
And it's the same for everybody.
Yep, same for everybody, and we'll see what we can do and see what happens.
All right, well, thanks for giving us how they did this past week, and we'll find out how they did next week on the next Culture Show.
Sounds good. We'll see what we can do.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. After the break here, we'll be talking baseball with Darby Biergun.
Minnesota Valley Co-op Light and Power Association, your REC, would like to congratulate the graduating class in our area high schools. As you enter this new stage of your life, they hope you won't lose contact with your rural background. Whatever your choices are for the future, they wish each of you great happiness and much success. Congratulations, graduates, from REC, Minnesota Valley Co-op Light and Power Association, headquartered in Montevideo. Here's a salute to the graduates from Madison Healthcare Services. As you travel down that road of life, there will be many unexpected turns and detours. See each one as an opportunity, not a roadblock, and you never know what great success may be yours. Best of luck in the future from your friends at Madison Healthcare Services. And a reminder to area graduates, many great opportunities in healthcare await you at Madison Healthcare Services.
Step into something delicious. Quick Trip's Heartland Ice Cream. It's the newest scoop in our Nature's Touch ice cream family, crafted to delight and surprise. Grab a pint for just $3.99 and let the sweetness sweep you away. Try Waffle Whirl, creamy vanilla ice cream, chocolatey dipped waffle cone pieces, and a rich caramel ribbon swirling through every bite. And that's just one of 12 enchanting flavors waiting to be discovered. Heartland Ice Cream by Nature's Touch. One scoop closer to magic. Exclusively at Quick Trip.
If a new ride is on your wish list, the Co-op Credit Union has a little tip for you. Get pre-qualified before you walk into a dealership. This helps put you in the driver's seat during the car buying process, and it helps keep your budget in check. Co-op Credit Union is local people making local decisions on your auto and consumer loans. Stop by any of their locations in Montevideo, Benson, Canby, or Wilmer.
Co-op Credit Union, we're your financial home.
Normal lending guidelines apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Yeah, that's right, Dick. We traveled up to Minnewaska, a 2A school, on Tuesday for a 4 o'clock game. They had another game right after us against Ashby, so they wanted to try to get two games in, so we started a little bit earlier than we normally do. Beautiful field up at Minnewaska. It was a little nostalgic for me because that was where I taught before I moved back home and helped design that field. So it is a quite the field out there. They put a lot of work into it. I know they're hosting it's either Senior Legion or Junior Legion State Tournament this year, and
oh, wow.
And it was fun to play on that field. The boys came back, and they were pretty impressed by the quality of the infield and the outfield and all-around atmosphere there. So, anyways, it was a 4 o'clock game, and we came, we ended up losing 7-5, so it was actually a fairly tight, contested game. We scored 5 runs on only 2 hits, and we also committed 3 errors. So on the day, Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-2 with 2 runs. Nolan Smith had a sacrifice RBI, a fly ball to left field, scored a run for him. Kaysen Heineke scored a run. Tanner Tilbury is 1-for-4, and Easton Fernald scored our other run. It was kind of a tune-up game for us, so we were able to get a few guys on the mound. We were kind of going to cut it up and give everybody a little piece of the mound and let them work a little bit, get a little bullpen session in. Jackson Fernald started on the mound for us. He went 2 innings, struck out 2, walked 1. Gave up 5 hits, 3 runs, and 3 were earned. Carter Moen came in second. He pitched 2 innings, struck out 2, didn't walk anybody, gave up 2 hits, 4 runs, and 1 was earned, and that's kind of where our errors kind of helped them get 3 extra runs when Carter was on the mound. And then the big one was getting Gavin Meyer back from injury. He had an ACL injury ever since the summer, and he got cleared that morning to fully participate in a game, so he got 2 innings on the mound, struck out 1, walked 3, and gave up 2 hits, no runs, and no earned. So I know Gavin was just crazy excited to get back on the mound. His excitement in the dugout all year, it's hard for him to explain to us how much he wanted to get out there and help the guys play. So moving into playoffs, that's exciting to have him back. And I know we're probably not game shape ready yet, but we know that he can give us innings, and he's a good fielder and a good guy at the stick to when we need him. So JV ended up losing to Minnewaska, and they also played Monty on Monday. And then junior high had a 1 on Tuesday against Ortonville, and they won on Thursday versus, I'm trying to think, Monty again on Thursday. They beat Monty. So junior high had a good season. They wrapped up their season. JV wrapped up their season. I know Coach Kittleson enjoyed working with that group. So their seasons are wrapped up, and that brings us to today with our playoffs for varsity.
That's right. And a little moisture yesterday, but the Madison Memorial Field dries so good, so I think we'll be on time. But
So as of right now, that's our plan, is to get get a little bit breeze and get a little sun and burn some of this off. But it's a great thing to get the field a little water on it right before playoffs start.
Well, I'm sure anybody that farms in that welcomes the moisture as well. So
yeah, it's better than the frost that we had earlier in the week.
That's right. So let's go through the pairings.
Sure.
We are hosting, so that's always an honor to do. It's a little work, but it's an honor to host.
Correct, yep. And Zach Stelter, our AD, is doing a lot of work behind the scenes getting this thing set up for us. So last time we hosted was in 2024 when we made a run for the state tournament. So we're kind of hoping the same thing happens here again. We are the number two seed, and we open up with RCW at 11 o'clock. We beat RCW earlier in the year, 2-0, first game of the year. So both teams have changed a lot since that game. So it's going to be interesting to see what they bring, and I think they'll be interested to see what we look like now that things have evolved throughout the season. After our game, roughly 1 o'clock, it'll be YME versus Central Minnesota Christian. And the winner of both games move on and play about 3:30, or a half hour after that second game ends.
Sure.
So the losers are done in that first round, but if you can win that first game, then it becomes a double elimination tournament.
Right, and then it probably moves to Tracy Milroy.
Correct. The winners of the weekend, meaning going 2-0, will then play at Irish Field out in the country down in the Milroy area.
Yep.
And the losers of the second game, so they're going 1-1 on the weekend, would play on Tuesday down in Milroy itself at the Yankee Stadium,
right.
Yankee Field.
Yeah.
So everything will be down south after this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everybody's rested up and raring to go, I'm sure.
Yeah, rested, I hope so. You know, seniors' last day was on Wednesday, and they have some shenanigans for us teachers and camp out in the parking lot. So we talked about that on Thursday, about getting rest, finding time for rest. We got a bunch of graduations that kids are excited about going to and being with their friends, and which they should be, but we also talk about it's important to give your body rest, even though you want to be doing all these fun things. Find some time to rest and be recuperated and be ready to go.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the wrap-up, and best of luck today. It will not be on the radio, but come on down and join in the festivities and cheer on the Eagles.
That sounds great. We'll take the biggest crowd we can get. Come on down if you got a chance.
Sure. That's Darby Biergon on baseball. After the break, we'll have more of the Culture Show.
Are you looking for top-notch health care services with a personal touch? Look no further than Madison Healthcare Services, this area's trusted partner in health. At Madison Healthcare Services, their primary care clinic is dedicated to keeping you and your family in the best of health. Their experienced staff of providers is here to deliver comprehensive care tailored just for you. Need specialized care? They've got you covered. Their specialty providers offer expert consultations and treatments to address your unique health needs. And for those who prefer the comfort of home, their home care service brings quality health care to your doorstep because they believe everyone deserves the highest level of care wherever they are. If you or your loved one is considering assisted living or long-term care, Madison Healthcare Services is the place to be. Their state-of-the-art facilities are designed with your comfort and well-being in mind. Madison Healthcare Services, where your health is their priority. For information or to schedule your appointment, call 320-598-7551. Madison Healthcare Services, caring for you close to home.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could sell grain from your office, from your tractor, from the local coffee shop? What if you're on vacation, the market runs, and you want to sell? With CargillAg.com, you can. Anytime you have internet access, you can sell your grain to Cargill. By signing up for a free account through your farm marketer or sales support rep, you can manage all of your Cargill activity, including tracking all of your grain contracts, scale tickets, and more. You can also sign documents with the Cargill e-signature. Sell grain and check the latest futures prices. Contact your local Cargill representative or visit CargillAg.com.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention now to softball. And like everything else, you're into section play. Actually, you're kind of ahead of everybody else because you already played two games on this past Tuesday, Scott.
Yes, we did. So. Yep, we were able to host two games as the two seed, which is exciting for us. It's been a several-year run where we've been able to host here in the top two seeds. So, yeah, had a great day on Tuesday and a nice crowd and some nice results.
Okay, let's hear all about it.
Sounds good. Well, our first game we hosted Dawson. They were the seventh seed, and we had played them twice during the year, but, you know, it's tournament time, so you never really know what's going to happen here. So we came out in the first inning as the home team, and we shut them down in the first inning, and then we scored five off the get-go. And that was awesome. Bounced back in the second inning, scored three more. So by after two innings, we were up 8-0, feeling pretty good about things. And then all of a sudden, Dawson answered back with three runs in the top of the third. So it was kind of one of those, okay, we still have a nice little cushion, but ideally, when you know if you win, you're going to throw or you're going to play a second game, you know, it's really nice to get out of there in as many innings or as few of innings as possible to save on your pitchers and whatnot. So our kids did a nice job. We bounced back with four runs in the bottom of the fourth, and then to make it a 12-3 game. And then in the bottom of the sixth, we ended it early with the 10-run rule, scoring a run. Abby Emlin had a walk-off hit that plated that run, and we ended up winning 13-3 in six innings. We had 13 hits on the day to Dawson's seven. Pitching in that first game, we had Riley Clark throwing for us. She threw a nice game, gave up seven hits, three runs. None of them were earned. She had six strikeouts and four walks, and it was a windy day. But again, I thought Riley did a good job of doing what we needed her to do. You know, no big deal if they put it in play a little bit. Our defense is starting to play some pretty good ball and doing some nice instinctual things. So at the plate, we had some, you know, with 13 hits, we had some nice days. Aiden Bond was 1-for-2, and she scored twice. Callie Kahn was 2-for-4, scoring twice. Maddie Geiser was 2-for-3, scoring twice with two RBIs. Abby Amlin was 4-for-4, scoring three times with two RBIs. Abby also had that game-winning walk-off hit, so that's always exciting. Eva Traeger was 3-for-3 on the day with scoring twice and had three RBIs. She was the Neon Needles player of the game with some big hits, big at-bats. Sadie Zarbuck was 1-for-3, scoring a run with three RBIs. She drove a ball to right field, and it's incredible how fast she is. Our book has it as a home run. I'm thinking it was more of a triple, but regardless, there was not a play made at her at the plate. She just was flying around the bases, so that was pretty exciting to see. So that game adds up to our 13 hits on the day. Maddie Geiser and Eva Traeger both had doubles for us. Maddie Geiser also had a triple, and Aiden Bond also had a triple as well. So we with some stolen bases on the day, Abby Amlin had two, Aiden Bond had one, Eva Traeger had four, and Tegan Conroy had one. So we got after it on the bases and got that first victory, 13-3 in six innings. And that's essentially what that does, Dick. You know this too in ball, but that turns that single elimination first game into now we are in the double elimination pool. So we just say we have a life. We have one freebie, one life.
Right.
But we want to hold on to it as long as possible.
Right.
So then we moved on. The second game was KMS, who was the 3 seed, against Benson, who was the 6 seed. And KMS had beat them pretty bad earlier in the year. But, again, it's tournament time. And as we were watching this game unfold, Benson figured out how to get it done and ended up upsetting them and beat them 9-6. And so that's who we ended up playing as Benson in the third game. Both of the losers are done. KMS and Dawson, they're out. And so Benson and I were going to, or Benson and us, we're going to duke it out to see who stayed in the winner's bracket. And luckily our bats stayed warm. We weathered a storm and were able to come out on top. We jumped out to an early lead in the first, scoring three in the bottom of the third. And then Benson came back in the top of the third and scored four. So they were up 4-3. We answered back with a couple runs in the bottom of the third and went up 5-4. Then there was a little bit of a stalemate into the sixth inning, and we broke it open and scored four runs. So we were up 9-4 at that particular point going into the seventh, which certainly gave us some breathing room, but they started pushing. They scored a couple runs, and then we were able to close the game out and win 9-6. We had nine hits compared to Benson's eight, but the key stat in this one was the victory. Our hitters on the day, Aiden Bond was 2-for-3, scoring twice. Callie Kahn was 1-for-2, scoring three times with two RBIs and a walk. Callie was also hit by a pitch in this game, maybe even two. Matty Geiser was 2 for 4, scoring a run with 2 RBIs. Abby Amlin was 1 for 4, scoring a run with an RBI. Eva Traeger was 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs. And Sadie Zarbach was 1 for 4. Callie had a couple hits, Callie Kahn had a double. Maddie had a double. Abby, Eva, Aiden, and Sadie all had doubles. So let's see, 6 of our girls had doubles on the day. So we were hitting the ball pretty hard. Callie Kahn was hit by a pitch. Raya Borstead and Aiden Bond were also hit by pitches. Callie Kahn had 3 stolen bases. Aiden Bond had a stolen base, and Sadie Zarbach had a stolen base. Pitching for us was Ava DeLene. She was the Neon Needles player of the game in this game. She finished the game out giving up 8 hits, 6 runs. All 6 of them were earned. She had 7 strikeouts and 6 walks. We were talking, Paul and I were talking on the radio, and Bart, after the game, and you know what Ava showed me in this game is she didn't have her best stuff. Her changeup in particular just wasn't quite there, but she had the grind in her that just kept going, and she's so stoic. She just never gets flustered. She just can kind of look you right in the eyes and say, nope, I've got this. And I was so proud of her for how she battled through not having her best stuff. You know this, Dick, as a any pitcher knows that there are just going to be days where you don't have it.
Right.
And so how do you work through those moments? And I thought that Ava really, really, as a freshman, showed that inner strength and got through it and got us out of some really big jams. There were times where Benson would have runners on second, third. I think one inning in particular, it was second, third, nobody out. And she ended up getting out of that pickle without giving up a run. So,
right.
So long story short, there's 4 teams in the section right now that have not been beat in section play. It's us, YME in the north, and then in the south, it's Wabasso and Bold.
Right.
So,
and everything goes to Marshall now.
Yep. Today we are in Marshall, and our first game is scheduled to be against Wabasso, because we cross over at this point with the north and the south.
Right.
I don't know much about Wabasso. I was able to watch them a little bit when we went to their tournament, but we didn't play them. So I know that they're well coached and they've got some nice softball players, but I told our girls I feel like we're a very dangerous team right now. If we can keep making plays in the field, if our bats can continue to heat up, and if our pitchers throw strikes and don't give up free bases, we're dangerous. So I hope we can put a good one together and see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. And just like that first game on Tuesday, if you win that one, you're kind of in the driver's seat, which is good.
Spot.
So
yeah. Yeah, for sure. If we can win our first one, then we're done for the day.
Oh, okay.
We would go. We would play on Tuesday against the winner of Bold and YME. They cross on the other half of the bracket. So, and if we would end up losing, again, we still have a free life. So then we would end up playing one more game on today, and would play at 3:00. And I'm not sure. I haven't looked far enough ahead because that's not what my brain is thinking. So,
One at a time.
One at a time, and our intentions are always positive. So
right. Well, that's great. Well, thanks for the report. Wrapping up the home games on Tuesday, and best of luck today. And we'll be talking to you on the Culture Show next week, and hopefully can do some broadcasting of softball the next time you play as well.
That would be wonderful. As always, we appreciate you guys.
Okay, that's Scott Swatsky on girls softball. After the break, we'll have more of the Culture Show after this.
For all your auto glass needs, including auto, semi-truck, glass repair and replacement, and tractor and combine cabs, check with Sean Duth at Dawson Auto Glass. Call 320-226-1900. He does all rock chip repairs, works with all insurance companies, and offers same-day service, and will come right to your house. That's Dawson Auto Glass, owned and operated by Sean Duth in Dawson. Call 320-226-1900 or Dawson Auto Glass at MediacomBB.com. dawsonautoglass.net. That's Dawson Auto Glass, located in Dawson, Minnesota, owned and operated by Sean Duth.
UFP Miniota is a manufacturing company specializing in roof and floor trusses, walls, stairs, pre-cut lumber, pallets, crating, and all your industrial needs. Call now to inquire about career opportunities at 507-872-6178 and ask for HR. That's UFP Miniota. They are a proud supporter of Miniota Athletics.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall.
Back here at the studio, the softball interview with Scott Swatsky was taped yesterday, and right after we hung up, we got a call from Paul Ramo saying that he was scheduled to broadcast those softball games down in Marshall today, but he's kind of under the weather right now. He's feeling better today, but he did go ahead and call Paul Schwartz, who's done some broadcasting for Q92, and he agreed to make the trip to Marshall and broadcast those games. So the softball games will be on Q92 starting a little bit before 11 o'clock, so That's good, and hopefully maybe next week baseball can be broadcast as well. So just to let you know, keep that dial tuned to Q92 and listen to softball, hopefully twice or just once today. If they win, they're done for the day. If they lose, they play again at 3 o'clock. So that pretty much concludes the Culture Show and the show with Dick Newman's Sick Jokes of the Week. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down.
Oldie
but goodie. I made a pencil with two eraser. It was pointless. And which country's capital is growing the fastest? Of course, it's Ireland. Every day it's Dublin. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.